Lifecast listeners, James Caldwell here, letting you know about Loot Crate at lootcrate.com. It's like a friend, knows your preferences, knows what you like, especially in the area of merchandise, themes, t-shirts, lots of great options with a Loot Crate service. What they do is every month they send you a box, you get it in the mail, you get about $40 plus value in every crate every month, sometimes a couple of special surprises or more. If you've seen Torch Columnist Sean Radican's monthly unboxings, and go check them out on YouTube or here on our website, pwtorch.com. You know what's inside a box they send you in the mail. You get a t-shirt, you get a keychain, you get a tag, you get a photo, lots of different things from the wrestling world. Loot Crate customizes each box based on your preferences, and they also have different themes. It might be a Star Wars theme, Marvel. Lots of different themes they come up with at LootCrate.com. So if you've seen Sean Radican's unboxings, you know what you kind of expect. But Loot Crate is more than just a subscription service. It's also a community, and they share their experiences unboxing each month's crate, and you get that $40 value in the mail with your subscription service. And here at PW Torch, on the PW Torch Livecast, we have an offer where you get a discount off your crate. All you have to do is go to LootCrate.com, and when you sign up, and you set up your subscription service, enter the code PWTORCH. You get $3 off any new subscription for you. Share it with a friend. Tell a friend. Go to lootcrate.com. Enter PWTORCH as your code. Get $3 off your subscription. That's for any new subscription. So be sure to sign up quickly. There's a deadline every single month. But with that subscription, you get about $40 worth of value in each month's themed curated crate that you get sent right there in the mail with some cool stuff and with different themes each month. So again, lootcrate.com, enter the code PWTORCH, let your friends know about it, and enjoy the subscription service. You are listening to the Raw Post Game Show. This is the PW Torch Livecast. It is Monday night, May 9th, 2016. I'm your host, Torch Assistant Editor James Caldwell, taking your calls here at PWTorchLivecast.com. You can shoot us an email at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. You can call us up at 646-721-9828. We're talking about tonight's Raw. There's like a million things happening at the same time tonight. New Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. I have absolutely no idea how it happened, so it's completely... I don't even know what happened, but we're going to try to find out during the show. Ring of Honor had a rare Monday night show at the same time as tonight's Raw. They tried to make some news. With new tag champions out of nowhere, so we'll try to find out about that. Plus, we're talking about the Extreme Rules in 2 weeks. WWE announced a couple more matches for that on tonight's Raw. All the news, all the coverage at pwtorch.com, our main website. You're listening to us here at pwtorchlivecast.com. And let's go to our trusty every other Monday co-host here on the Livecast Raw Postgame Show, PW Torch columnist Pat McNeil. Pat, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Hello, James. Hello, you people. You also forgot the other big news, which is that the Torch VIP message board is back up.
Yeah, there's that. The Torch VIP message board's up. Damian Sandow's taking independent bookings. Hornswoggle's taking independent bookings. Everybody's got a booking. And we have a new forum up. You're right, Pat.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is dogs and cats living together. We also have the announcement, by the way, which you covered earlier, that on the weekend of Slammiversary, apparently... Apparently, Drew Galloway and Ethan Carter are going to be wrestling for Evolve.
Everybody is running TNA house shows except for TNA, Pat. Yes.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. and a crazy episode of Raw for some reason.
Yeah, Raw tonight.
I don't know about crazy. Well, you know, I thought, okay, maybe this is maybe they're actually going to elevate a new wrestler. Maybe Cass is going to get a good match in with Chris Jericho and. And we're going to see what Cass brings to the table, but no, because the main event was interrupted because Dean Ambrose went and got some fabric scissors and cut up Chris Jericho's glow-in-the-dark jacket. That's actually what happened.
Yeah, to set the stage, Raw was bookended by, refreshingly, not a McMahon family promo, but it was a Jericho highlight reel, which the entire focus was on the potted plant that he destroyed of Dean Ambrose last week. And so Ambrose returned the favor by ripping up Jericho's light-up jacket in the last segment of the show, which was supposed to be Jericho in big casts in a one-on-one match. So, yes, Pat, the show was bookended by, as Shane McMahon joked, a potted plant and a light-up jacket as a focal point of the show. So that's where Raw stands in 2016.
Well, the really real point of the final segment was to establish that although Stephanie McMahon had been acting nice for 3 hours, she's actually still evil.
I didn't know what to make of there were, like, mixed facial reactions from Stephanie. Like, she's looking at the picture of Shane and Vince, and she's, like, first, like, mad, and then she's, like, kind of happy. But I don't know what a happy face from Stephanie's character is supposed to look like, so I wasn't sure what to read about that.
Acting. Genius. Obvious.
Masterful actors, those McMahons.
Yes, I know. So, I haven't seen acting like that since Lauren Holly left NCIS.
Ah, there we go.
All right. Gee, I hardly know where to unpack this. We had the Roman Empire versus the not the Bullet Club in the elimination
club
match.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, which of course ended with just the club attacking Roman Reigns when he and AJ were the only ones left in the match, and beating him down with a chair, and then you had the stare-off. And we actually heard some cheers for Roman Reigns. Now, there were people on Twitter saying that those can't be real cheers, they must be piped in. But it looked like there were people cheering for Roman Reigns.
Yeah, it's a Midwest town, you know. I think that's kind of, you kind of get a house show crowd. You know, the show tonight was Lincoln, Nebraska, Midwest town. You're going to get a house show audience where there's mostly pro-Reigns fans, and you heard the anti-Reigns fans, local males there too. Yeah.
Yeah, well, so and then that sets up on SmackDown. We're going to get Roman Reigns against Sex Ferguson. I mean, Luke Gallows. So that's going to be
formerly known as Doc Gallows. I mean, Festus. I mean, Doc from Ace and Eights. I mean, yeah, Drew Hankinson. Yeah, on and on about the identity crisis. Yeah.
I know. Well, so that's going to be at least somewhat interesting. As is the long-awaited dream match of R-Truth and Tyler Breeze against Goldust and Fandango.
Plus, you throw in a tag match. This is all on SmackDown. Yeah, Greg Parks is excited. You know, he's got three matches to cover.
Yeah, I know.
On SmackDown on Thursday, he's got. Plus, you throw in the four guys the Intercontinental Title match at Extreme Rules. You put them in a tag match on SmackDown. So that's okay. That's an okay card for Thursday.
Well, now, but here's something else I'm confused by. So Sin Cara beat Rusev. Shouldn't Sin Cara be added to the U.S. title match at Extreme Rules and make that a three-way? And then when somebody beats Sin Cara, they can get in a four-way. And I'm just saying.
Things got a little bit complicated tonight with those scenarios. But I mean, yeah, Pat, that to me was the surprise of the night. Was they had Rusev lose to Sin Cara. There were 18 roll-up finishes tonight, including the elimination tag match, and that was one where Rusev needed to win that match. I don't know why you had Sin Cara win that.
Yeah, that's the one where you can't have Rusev go over clean. Okay, fine, whatever. But then again, look what Ring of Honor booked. I mean, I don't understand this business anymore.
Are you referring to Daniels and Kaz losing to Cheeseburger and Liger, and then winning the tag team titles the next night in a random match?
I can only assume that later this week we're going to see Cheeseburger be Jay Lethal for the title. And the law. No, that's not good enough. He's got to beat Naito, I think.
For the IWGP World. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, I think that's how this comes full circle.
Oh, boy. Yeah, then we're having a whole different post-game show, Pat, in that case. So.
Yeah. I guess so.
Pat, what else stood out to you from tonight's show, Pat? It seemed like a lot of what it was tonight was about was the Ambrose Jericho, the club, and the family, and then the Intercontinental title scenarios. But, you know, there's some other stuff on the show. It just sort of seems like it's all been forgotten by now because those are pretty much the top three stories.
Well, we had Charlotte lose to Paige. When Ric Flair came out, even though he was banned, got to ringside, got distracted by Natty Neidhart's giant push-up bra, and somehow this led to Paige beating Charlotte. So I assume Paige gets added to the Divas title match and at Extreme Rules and makes it a three-way. That's the only guess I have.
Here's what's going to happen, Pat, is, you know, because WWE can't really decide on the names of anything, they're going to come out Raw next Monday and say, hey, guess what? The name of the pay-per-view? We're going to change it to Fatal 4-Way. You guys remember that pay-per-view? Remember that pay-per-view like 5 years ago? Yeah,
No, it's going to be Extreme Fatal 4-Way.
Ah, no, Extreme Fatal 4-Way Night of Champions, because all the titles are on the line. How about that?
No, you can't do that because you already got Night of Champions. Night of Champions is a completely different pay-per-view.
But Night of Champions
like
will be changed to War
Games
in September. How about that?
We'll see. there's a lot of stuff that I didn't quite understand. And, and we also had the Baron Corbin era because, Baron Corbin beat Dolph Ziggler to officially make this a 50-50 feud between Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. I mean, that seems like it was last week, the first match of the show.
Yeah, I know.
And you're like, oh, yeah, that happened this week, yeah.
Yeah, but all that happened.
Yeah, and yeah. And you
we
had
all that into one night.
No, it was, I'll give them this. It was a nicely paced show. They moved very quickly through the show. And then they got to the very end of the show, Pat, and I think those last two segments, they kind of, you felt the 3 hour Raw. It's like sometimes in the middle of the first hour, some in the middle of the second hour. Tonight it was definitely the end of the third hour when you don't want that feeling of like, oh, yeah, this is a 3 hour show.
Well, if you want to not feel that it's a 3 hour show, skip the first hour. Because really, that's the only way you can do it.
You're right. I mean, you have to condense it. That's what Hulu was there for, right, Pat? To condense it to.
Yeah, Hulu's that's genius. Not the 90-minute Raw. I mean, the 90-minute Raw. That might be worth. That might be worth the $8 a month in itself.
You're right. I'll be very curious what they're going to cut out this week from the Hulu version. It's always fun to see what they cut out. Yeah.
There are lots of options.
Mm-hmm. Pat, give us a little bit of discussion about Wednesday's live cast, and I know you're in the middle of a new series on the Wayback Playback with Jim Valley for VIP audio members.
Yes, as a matter of fact, Nova's going to be back on the show, and he's, Mike Bucci, was a big part of talent relations some years ago at Raw, former ECW guy is Nova, former Simon Dean, usually he's quite talkative and has a lot to say. We might have one or two surprises on the show as well. You never know these days because we've had a weird set of Wednesday live casts over the past several weeks.
You in prime time.
In prime time, yes. That's what brings out the craziness. Then, of course, the after show or pre show with James Caldwell, depending on how things are going. That's going to be good. And we've got it. I guess we got to talk about the Wayback Playback. We're in the middle of. You guys voted on No Mercy '99, which was the show where China beat Jeff Jarrett for the Intercontinental title.
Mm-hmm.
And hour two of that just went up, which features a certain ladder match that people seem to remember fondly between Edge and Christian and the Hardy Boys.
Mm.
And obviously, this coming weekend will be the end of No Mercy with a match between a guy named Steve Austin and a guy named Triple H. So yeah, that was a busy show. That was the time WWE was just running amok, and Russo and Ferreira had just skipped out to go to WCW. So things were complicated, I guess. not like things aren't complicated now, but yeah.
A different kind of complication. Yeah, you're right, Pat. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and I imagine we'll have even more news on Wednesday than we have now. So good luck with that, everybody. James, I don't envy you in the slightest.
Plus, there's a Ring of Honor show on Wednesday, I think. Is that right, in Toronto?
Oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So there's that.
And, of course, and I think we're going to get the long-awaited dream match between Finn Balor and the Drifter. So so we got that on NXT. So we got that going for us, which is nice.
Yeah.
Plus the casket match on Lucha Underground.
That sounds interesting. Lucha Underground and the casket match. That sounds like a match. That sounds like a good match.
You saw the ad during Raw, no doubt.
No, I didn't catch. I saw an ad for the UFC pay-per-view twice, but no, I didn't see Lucha Underground.
I believe it was Mil Muertes versus Matanza in the championship Grave Consequences match, which is otherwise known to normal people as a casket match.
or a Buried Alive match. That's another. Well, I mean, it's not the same match, but you know what we're getting at. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Pat. Well, I'm going to let you go on that
it's
note.
It's all good.
And we'll talk again
Thank
on Wednesday,
you.
Pat.
Thank you. Good night, James.
All right, good night, Pat. That is PW Torch Comics' Pat McNeil. He's on Twitter, at RealPatMcNeil. Follow him during Raw. He's a great read, a lot of entertaining tweets during 3 hour Raws and major pay-per-views and things of the like. And we're going to hit a quick commercial break and be right back with your phone calls, 646-721-9828, here at PWTorchLivecast.com.
There's so many great perks that come with being a PW Torch VIP member, and one of them is access to vintage radio shows dating back to the late 1980s through the Attitude Era. The Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s. John Arezzi's Pro Wrestling Spotlight show out of New York that ran from the late 80s through the mid-90s. And Jim Valley's Total Chaos from the Attitude Era. All those shows, available with new ones added regularly, come with your PW Torch VIP membership. Listen to real-time discussions of current events on WrestleMania, big news stories with Ultimate Warrior, Stone Cold Steve Austin, the Monday Night War, and so much more, live callers, and I'm even a guest regularly on John Arezzi's Pro Wrestling Spotlight. You can hear what I had to say about the rise of the Ultimate Warrior, some early WrestleManias, Ric Flair's jump to the WWF, and so much more. It's a cool perk that comes with a VIP membership, along with so many other benefits. Check out full details on becoming VIP and a whole list of all the exclusives that VIP members currently enjoy. Join them at pwtorch.com/goVIP. Get full information, and the 90-second sign-up process begins at pwtorch.com/goVIP. It's mobile-friendly.
As we heard from with Wade and also Pat in the discussion, PW Torch VIP is a way to go. As Pat mentioned, the new forum is back live. Our message board at pwtorch.com, pwtorchvip.com. If you're not a VIP member, pwtorch.com/goVIP is where you sign up. Get all the membership perks that come with a VIP membership. Torch newsletter. The new forum, ad-free access to our main pwtorch.com website, plus all the audio content you can handle or download or stream in your ears. It's all there, pwtorch.com/goVIP. And let's go to phone calls. And let's go to our first caller of the night from the 478 area code, 478 and then 305. 478, welcome to the show. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Darrell from Georgia. How you doing today, James?
Hey, I'm doing good, Darrell. Always good to talk to you. What's your mind?
Pretty good, Raw. I think they tried to set up the third hour with a nice championship feud. I think that's going pretty good. Good booking with Roman Reigns and AJ Styles. I want to see where the payoff happened at Extreme Rules. Mm-hmm. How that goes. They bought everybody into the story. See Ring of Honor changing tag team champions and adding more members to the Bullet Club. That's crazy. Now Adam Page.
Mm-hmm.
Just pretty good.
Adam Cole,
I want to get your ideas on Adam. Yeah.
Well, did they add Adam Page tonight?
Too.
I don't know. Did they add Adam Page? They could, might have.
Yes, they add him tonight. Yeah,
oh,
they just
did.
Added him tonight. They said out on Twitter. Yeah, just a few minutes ago.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I wanted to hear your thoughts on that and your early predictions for Extreme Rules. And what did you think about the third hour of Raw?
Sure.
And I'm good.
All right, Darrell, breaking some news. Now, I knew about the title change because Ring of Honor tweeted out. We have not gotten results yet from the Ring of Honor show tonight. Hopefully that we do. If you did go to the show in Dearborn tonight or if you went to Raw in Omaha, call us up. Or email us, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. I don't know where to start. There's, like you said, Darrell, there's so much going on tonight. I got to see the angle that introduces Adam Page to Bullet Club, since they just added Adam Cole last night at the pay-per-view at Global Wars. So I need to see what's going on with Adam Page, fellow July 27th birthday, part of the club. The real club. You know what club we're talking about. But July 27th. Styles and Reigns, I feel like, this felt like the highlight of the show to me. I feel like they built to a nice crescendo. Or let me put it this way. They're building to a nice crescendo going into Extreme Rules. I feel like last week they got somewhere with how the show went off the air. And I feel like they followed it up nicely tonight. And I felt like the tag match, you know, it had the rapid-fire eliminations that are so unrealistic. I didn't like that, but I thought that they got to a Reigns-Styles moment that made you care about the match and the feud, and I liked how they got there tonight. And so I think that's on a nice track toward Extreme Rules in 2 weeks. I still don't think Styles is going to win the title. I think Reigns will retain, but they're getting Styles to a higher level, and that's good. The third hour of Raw, and I put this in my report, it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter if you have a hot 2.5 hours, inevitably, it's going to happen. Raw is going to hit that moment, and they did, and I thought the New Day versus Dudley's match, the tag division is just so confusing right now. You got New Day, who were heels and never really turned face, but now they're just sort of accepted as faces. Vaudevillains, I don't think belong on... I'll put it this way. I think Aiden English belongs on main TV. Simon Gotch, just to me, he looks lost. And then the Dudleys are kind of stuck where they're... I don't know what they are. Heel, face, they're just kind of there. So I think the tag division is kind of in a bruh mode right now. And then you go to your advertised main event, which is Big Cass and Jericho. The match doesn't happen. And Dean Ambrose rips up the light up jacket, and the crowd's tired. You could just sense it. But there's no match because they decided not to have a Jericho Big Cass match, and they're trying to figure out a way to go off the air, and there really isn't a way because there's no match. They just had Ambrose rip up Jericho's jacket. So I thought maybe tonight would be the night where they would not hit that lull period, because they had not hit that lull. Until the very end of Raw. And the last two segments kind of felt that weight. The weight of the 3 hours just kind of crashed down on those last two segments. So that's not a good time to have that lull period. So, Darrell, I think the third hour really kind of suffered tonight because of how the show ended. But I thought it was a well-paced, nice show until those last two segments. You cannot escape the monster that is 3 hour Raw. You just can't. It's impossible. Early predictions for Extreme Rules. Let's go one title change. I guess I got to go with Rusev. I said Ryback was going to win the U.S. title last pay-per-view. Yeah, what the heck? Let's go Rusev in this 50-50 book, and Rusev loses Sin Cara. Let's go Rusev winning the U.S. title from Kalisto at Extreme Rules. Intercontinental title is interesting. You could have a title change, but that one feels like, everybody does the work and Miz, the house show finished. Miz sneaks in and gets the win at the very end. So, I've got Reigns retaining, I got New Day retaining, I got Charlotte retaining, Miz retaining, and I got Rusev winning the US title from Kalisto. So, I'm going to go 1 out of 5. It's very, very early bold prediction, the James and Houston special, but let's go with that. Very early pick, 1 out of 5 title changes in 2 Sundays, so... Darrell, appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. As promised, let's go to our next phone call. 305 area code, you're up next. 305, welcome to the show. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, what's going on, DJ from Miami?
Hey, DJ, what's on your mind tonight?
I got a couple things. My first thing is, Big Cass, what do you really think he's going to do? I mean, they showed him in the beginning and at the end. I mean, do you think they're going to push him and then, stop? Push him up the ladder? Do you think he's going to get a total shot at this? Or do you think he'll have a feud with Randy Orton or something? Because I don't see him and Jericho doing anything, because of Dean Ambrose. It doesn't make sense to me what Dean Ambrose coming on, and, it makes him look stupid, kind of. I didn't like that too much. I thought it better let them fight, then Ambrose comes out. You
sure.
know what I mean?
Sure.
But that's my first thing.
Go ahead and hit me with your second thing. I'll talk about both items.
Okay. My second thing is, I don't know. I don't know where this is going, but I just don't see Reigns just, he's going to keep on holding the champion until what? John Cena comes back, then what? You know what I mean? Like, let the people be happy, right? Let Styles get the belt and let him fight Cena. Do something. Let Roman, like I said, do the 2.0, shield or something, because this is not working, and it's just boring already, it's the same thing over and over. What do you think is going to happen around SummerSlam? Now everybody's going to be hopefully back by then.
Yeah, I think that eventually they're going to have to do something different with Reigns. After Extreme Rules, I think Reigns teaming with his cousins, the Usos, is kind of a bridge to something different. Well, like you said, whether it is reforming the Shield or something else like that, but which even that I don't know would fix. I think there's just too much damage done. But there was definitely an effort tonight to make Raw a lot happier, and I think they finally recognized that. Raw's been kind of depressing for a while, and it hasn't been that fun to watch. If you're a fan of the baby faces, they're all been castrated. If you're not a fan of Roman Reigns, he's still the champion. You're kind of like, gosh, for a lot of viewers, it's like, man, it just says I don't want to watch Raw. It's just not fun. And so tonight, well, they had Baron Corbin win the first match, and then they had R-Truth win, which, whatever. But then you had Paige beat Charlotte, so Charlotte and Ric Flair got some comeuppance. Then you had Sami Zayn pin The Miz, Intercontinental Champion, so you got a babyface win there. Then you had Sin Cara upset Rusev, so you had another babyface victory. And then you had the Reigns and Styles thing, which was sort of like pick a rooting interest. Owens and Ryder, Owens won, which is happy for a lot of people. And then New Day beat the Dudleys. I think no wait, no the Dudleys beat the New Day, and then Ambrose ripped up Jericho's jacket. So it's like that they tried to, and they had Big Cass confront Jericho at the top, and Stephanie was kept out of the ring, Shane was kept out of the ring, they were all backstage. There wasn't a long, drawn-out in-ring McMahon family talking segment. So I think they're recognizing that there's an issue here, and at least for 1 week they said, okay, we gotta have a happy feel to Raw this week, and whether or not they want to admit it, a lot of it has to do with Roman Reigns and how people are resentful of him being in the spot he's in, not happy that he's there as far as people watching the show. And so, they're trying to build up AJ Styles as sort of a, an alternative in his group and acknowledge the club and try to have a cool factor and have them too sweet and all that and try to, have some fun stuff for people who are frustrated by the Roman Reigns stuff. But Roman Reigns is still the champion, so they're trying to work around the main issue for a lot of people, which is who's holding the title. And like you said, John Cena, is he going to come back and win the title? I don't think so. I think Cena's time is gone for now. I don't see him winning the title from Reigns. But yeah, I mean, I think Reigns going to be champion of SummerSlam, but if the rating drops below a 2.0 at some point this spring or early summer, they're gonna have to do something different, So, I'm with you on that, DJ. I think they've got to change it up with Reigns. I don't know what that change up is. I don't know if it's going nostalgia with the Shield, but I think that you can't dance around the topic anymore. You've got to address it, especially because he's not presented like a leading man. Some weeks he's not even in the last segment of the show. Some weeks he doesn't even show up. Some weeks he's not even on the show until halfway through. Like tonight, they didn't even show him on Raw until halfway through the show, and he's a champion with the title. Because they know they can't overexpose him, and make people even more resentful. So they're just in a really bad situation with Reigns. Big Cass, I don't know what the long-term plan is. I don't know when Enzo Amore is coming back. And they could always have Enzo come back and just sort of manage Big Cass, but they are obviously very high on Big Cass, and they haven't ruined him yet. They haven't had him go out there and lose a match via roll-up and then come back and win the 50-50 next week. They're protecting him right now. They didn't have him wrestle Jericho tonight. They had him just kind of be intimidating and help Ambrose against Jericho. So, I guess that's okay. I just don't think you advertise a match if you're not gonna have him wrestle. I think it's just kind of leading people to be disappointed, but they're very high on him right now. Very obviously, they're very high on him. We just don't know what the long-term plan is for Big Cass, but he's in a good spot, so we're just gonna see how it plays out. Appreciate it, DJ. Let's go to our next phone call. Next up on the live cast, 937 area code. Welcome to show 937. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Gabe from Ohio.
Hey Gabe, what's your mind tonight?
Okay, first off, I want to say Mug VIP, it's amazing. It's a good buy. Everybody should get it.
Awesome.
Another thing, I thought Raw was pretty good, well paced. I was really into the debut of Dana Brooke. I think it's been overlooked by everything else. Dana Brooke was really good. I'm the thing I'm most interested in is I know Reigns is going to retain because we know Reigns is the guy right now. They're not going to take the belt off him so easily. So where do you see the club going afterwards with after Extreme Rules?
I like your call, Gabe, because you set me up for a couple segues there. Dana Brooke randomly debuted tonight with Emma opposite, it's been a long day. A lot of stuff going on. I'm trying to buy some time. Who was it? Becky Lynch, the forgotten one from WrestleMania, Becky Lynch. So you got, I guess, Becky Lynch now with some new opponents to work with. It's kind of what we were talking about recently in the live cast, where it seems that they only have time or room for, like, one women's division feud. And so this week, Sasha Banks was tucked away in a Pizza Hut commercial, and Becky Lynch now has a feud with Emma and the debuting, as you said, Dana Brooke. So I guess it's just a way for Emma to have some backup and have another NXT. How many NXT call-ups can you have? Which segues me into Finn Balor, which is a great. It was a great call from you, Gabe, because interestingly on tonight's Raw, you know, they had the random, seemingly random NXT plug, the generic video package promoting this week's NXT on the network, and Finn Balor's coming back, and they placed it after the Club versus Team Reigns match. They came back from break, and just a generic video. Finn Balor's on NXT this week, and Michael Cole says, Finn Balor knows all about these guys, segueing into a moments ago recap of the Club and the family. So I thought that was actually one of the highlights of Raw, how subtly and also very cleverly they hinted at Finn Balor coming up to be part of the Club storyline. So I very much continue to go with my theory that either Styles just plain old loses to Reigns on Sunday, two Sundays, or Finn Balor perhaps cost him the match, or Carl and Doc cost Styles the match and introduced Finn Balor the next time on Raw. You know, whatever the case is, I think Finn Balor is debuting either at Extreme Rules or the night after. And that little very clever tie-in of the NXT plug with the moments ago recap, I thought that was pretty well done to introduce Balor as part of this whole deal. So, I mean, think about it. They've got to introduce background for so many different guys. Apollo Crews has already disappeared from Raw TV. You know, last week he's in a battle royal. This week he's not even on the show this week. And so they've got to introduce so many backstories. They're calling up so many people. You know, they're releasing people left and right. Probably going to be some more releases this week after, Sandow and the likes last Friday. So, they're calling up a ton of people. I think they've got to start introducing some backstory. And I'm okay with the sort of the clever, linking Balor to the Club. I'm cool with that, the way they handled it tonight on Raw. So I think Balor's coming up at Extreme Rules the night after. And then we'll see what happens after that. But, yeah, they set it up tonight. They very subtly, cleverly set it up tonight. And so I think it's coming. You know, I'm still predicting Extreme Rules or the night after. So Gabe will see if that holds true, or do they wait until after Balor challenges Samoa Joe for the NXT title, the next TakeOver special in June. You know, that'd be a long time to hold off on Balor. I don't know if they can hold on that long until they have to, you know, switch gears with Styles switch gears from Styles and Reigns, you know, maybe Styles and Balor, and do something with that. So, we'll see. Gabe, appreciate it. Good call. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to our next caller. 609 area code, you're up next. 609, please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Hey, James. Beatrice from New Jersey.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Good. One thing I want to say is, so you're telling me that Dean Ambrose was just waiting all night in the back for Chris Jericho to come out so he can attack him. Just kind of waited there.
3-hour Raw logic. Sometimes you just got to throw it out the window. Yeah.
my one point is, I want to bring up is, do you think it's a fair comparison to say that the divas or women of Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Sasha are pretty comparable to the three members of the Shield of Roman Reigns, Ambrose, and Rollins. considering a lot of them have very similar, really characters, like Sasha, as I say, Seth Rollins, Becky's the Dean Ambrose, and say Charlotte's the Roman Reigns of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And my other point, and I just want to get your opinion on that one.
Yeah,
but
it's interesting.
That point. My other point, I feel like Baron Corbin really has lost something since he got beat out last week by Dolph Ziggler. It just feels like just something really just got taken away. I like Baron Corbin, but I think, and then some people were saying that, you know, Dolph needed the win because he's been jobbing, but I don't think there's anything more you can do to his character that hasn't already been done. And I think, I mean, you really have to think about it. I mean, I don't think that one more loss is going to kill them. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like it's really kind of damaged Baron's momentum. So yeah, that's all I got for you today.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. Great call. Appreciate it. I'm with you. I thought it was really ridiculous how they had Corbin lose to Ziggler on the pre-show a couple weeks ago at Payback. And you know, part of it was they had to balance out the baby faces and heels winning, and they decided to have Ziggler win. Yeah, if you're gonna call these people up from NXT, have a plan and stick to the plan and give them the background, get them over, let them get over. Because like you said, I mean, like, Ziggler winning that match didn't matter. You know, just have Corbin win. So I just don't know what the point of that was. Like you said, and I do think it kind of took something away from him. And I don't think Corbin has been the same since that loss. Especially it made him look like a very silly, you know, kind of Rusev tonight. Rusev, like, got pinned for 8 seconds. By, you know, you got a roll-up by Sin Cara. The referee's not in position. He's arguing with Lana. He finally runs back over, and Sin Cara is still pinning Rusev, and Sin Cara still pins him for 3 more seconds to get the result, and you know, it just made Rusev look really silly. And so I think the same for Corbin when he lost to Ziggler, at the pay-per-view pre-show. So, yeah, I don't think Corbin's been the same. Cruz has disappeared. We don't all know about Tyler Breeze, Social Outcast, you know, off TV this week. Were they even on the Superstars? Let's check our good friend Real, who checked in from the taping. It was Cesaro against Bo Dallas. So Bo Dallas represented the Outcast and Superstars taping. And Apollo Crews was on the Superstars taping. So, yeah, if you want to watch Apollo Crews and or the Social Outcast, you got to wait till Friday on the network for Superstars. How about that? But, yeah, you know, it's just, you know, the way that the a lot of the guys are losing, it just doesn't really make any sense to really get them over. You know, I don't understand some of the booking logic sometimes. And I think the NXT guys are really being hurt by the 50-50 booking. They're fragile characters, and, you know, they're very fragile characters. The way they're introduced, got an email, totally aside here. Wow. Totally lost my train of thought, but VIP member Chris just emailed in that he saw a graphic for the WWE show in Hawaii in June on the way to Japan, and the top two matches advertised are Brock Lesnar versus Kevin Owens and John Cena versus Nakamura. I don't know if that's legit or not. I've got to go track this down. I mean, but in Hawaii, I mean, heck, that's you're getting KO versus Lesnar, and you got Cena Nakamura. Hey, you know, that might be worth a trip to Hawaii, folks. Those two matches are actually going to happen. Yeah, the email says during tonight's Raw, commercial aired locally in Honolulu, announcing Brock Lesnar as opponent for, you know, the June 29th show in Hawaii, and it's Kevin Owens. The commercial also included the announcement of John Cena versus Nakamura for the first time ever. If someone has a picture of this, I need to see it. I need to verify this. Someone on Twitter, find the graphic. That is worth a trip to Hawaii, because Owens and Lesnar should have happened at WrestleMania, and you got to go all the way to Hawaii to go see the match, apparently. So, of course, they might put it on TV, like, you know, sometime in June, or on the pay-per-view sometime in June. Is Cena going to feud with Nakamura on WWE television? Is that what's happening here? I don't know what's happening tonight. I've completely lost track of any sense of reality with that email from Chris checking in. Wow. Okay, so I'm going to hit an ad. Hold on just a second.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link, and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you.
All right, let's regroup after that email hit. Wow. And let's go to another phone call. I need to process the idea of Nakamura and Cena in the same ring together. I don't know what to do with that. Let's go to the 936 area code. Welcome to the show, 936. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Travis from Huntsville.
Hey, Travis, good to hear from you. What's your mind tonight?
Just two quick comments. First off, I remember early kind of in this Reigns push, we were all joking that he'd be Cena 2.0. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really want to believe it until I heard the chant tonight with, you know, the males in the crowd going, let's go AJ, and then you hear the women and children going, let's go Roman. Because mm-hmm. that sounds like the old school, you know, let's go Cena sucks chant with the same, you know, split. You have the women and children with the let's go Cena. The older guys with the Cena sucks. So I thought that was interesting. And second thing I had for you was, did they just kind of forget about the storyline with Lil Nate? Are they just dropping that one and kind of going, oh, that was fun. We're just going to go on and pretend that never happened. So, yeah, that's all I got. It was real quick. Great show so far. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Travis. Appreciate the call. Yeah, that felt like one of those the old Scott Armstrong thing, you know, where they needed to get out of a finish, so they won the crooked referee angle, and, you know, then they kind of had in their back pocket to bring it. You know, I think they brought back Scott Armstrong a couple months ago to do a similar follow-up. That seems like kind of a way to get out of a finish, and then they briefly touched on it last Monday, and then I don't think he refereed any matches tonight, if memory serves correctly, so... I'd have to double-check and verify that. I'm going to go back and watch the tape. But, I imagine that they're going to drop it or, you know, they'll maybe go back to it at, you know, like Extreme Rules, you know, where Ric Flair's banned from ringside. How is Charlotte going to retain the title? I don't know. And then, you know, and then it's like the referee gets bumped and Little Nate runs in the ring and fast counts, you know. Because I've been wondering if they're gonna announce like a special referee for Charlotte and Natalya, but you know they haven't really got there, so I guess it's not gonna happen. I think this week would have been the week to do that. You know, maybe next week they could announce a special ref, but I guess now that's probably not gonna happen. So I think maybe a regular referee, maybe there's a bump, Nate comes in, counts the three, runs away, and you know, we're back to square one. So either they're going to completely drop it, or Travis, they don't want you to think about it, so it's a surprise if it happens in two Sundays. That's my thought there. Yeah, the Roman Reigns dueling chants, Midwest town. You got a lot of pro Reigns people in the crowd. And it was inevitable. You know, because, you know, I mean, we've probably gone, what, like 2-3 months without any like, discernibly strong pro Reigns audiences. You know, like legit. On TV, I mean, you go back to pre-WrestleMania, it was, you know, it was Roman Reigns' rough road to WrestleMania, where your Brooklyn's and your Chicago's and Philly's and Pittsburgh's, and then you come out of WrestleMania with a post-WrestleMania crowd, you're going to the UK, you come back to Hartford, and they're kind of a subdued crowd, last week in St. Louis, more of a pro-male, you know, male pro-styles audience, so this week they're finally in a sort of a Midwest town, for Raw, and you kind of get more of that pro Reigns, you know, the audience just kind of goes along with the story. You know, Roman Reigns is supposed to be a good guy. Well, I guess, no, just the guy. So they kind of go along with the story. You know, they kind of take it at face value. They're not questioning the booking. They're not annoyed looking at Roman Reigns' shortcomings and wondering why he's a champion. You know, they're just kind of going along with the story, and then that's fine. And so that's where you get more of the, you know, the pro Reigns fans that come out, and sort of the Midwest towns. And so you're looking ahead to next Monday, Raw's in, Raw's in heel country. Raw's in Bruce Mitchell country. Raw's in front row section D country. Raw's in Greensboro, North Carolina. But there's also a strong, casual audience there that Bruce notes whenever he goes to a WWE show in Greensboro or Charlotte. So I'm kind of curious what next Monday's Raw is going to be like on the show before the pay-per-view. So, you never know. You never know what kind of crowd you're going to get from town to town. But, yeah, Travis, you're right on. It's coming. The split audience, the dueling chants, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I think we saw a glimpse of it tonight. Does it carry over to next week and the week after and all that? Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Depends on the audience. Travis, always good to hear from you. Thanks for calling. Let's go to our next caller out of the 773 area code. Welcome to the show, 773. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Boris from Chicago.
Boris, good to hear from you. What's your mind tonight?
I guess I can stop worrying about Damian Sandow now, huh?
Well, you go watch him at your local independent show now.
Yeah. There's a lot of potential out there.
Yeah.
And, to me, I feel with this product here, it feels like we're still in that holding pattern. As long as this dude has got this belt, you can do anything you want. Because, due to the fact I've been watching New Japan for a minute, my first thing is, Doc and Anderson, they pretty much, they wrestle in the WWE formula, but boy, do it look make them look bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never seen nothing like this. To the transformation of Carl Anderson is really good, and just to see him work this product and work with the worst person on the planet, as far as a character, Roman Reigns, it just makes these guys look so watered down when they should have came in and just dominated. We just saw them dominate in another product, mm-hmm. In the same year. And to see them come back here, and it's like you feel like they're bowing down to the product itself and the character they want to be over, and it's still echoing from CM Punk, make Roman Reigns look good with his Superman punch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I feel about this whole thing, and it's just like to me it just feels like a holding pattern, and I'm glad that the other products are actually. Stepping it up, and like I said, I don't know what's going on with this Evolve, Evolve and NXT and the TNA, whatever situation is back there. Are you familiar with what's going on back there?
So
it's doing better to me. That's more interesting than what's going on with Raw. Raw is actually holding back. I think Raw. This is just me that I get off. I believe Raw and Roman Reigns is holding back this product, and from everybody else's, for the rest of this WWE product to move forward. I think these two entities is holding it back.
Yeah, and that's what's so fascinating about this has been a wild Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and into almost Tuesday here. I still can't go over the Hawaii double main event. I don't even know what they're going to come up with for Tokyo when they go to Tokyo in July. I mean, are they going to do Brock and Nakamura? I mean, I'm going to have to hop on that plane, get on the way to Hawaii and Tokyo. My gosh. I know that there's a direct flight from Houston to Tokyo. So there's actually a billboard for that in town. I saw that a couple months ago. That was, it's just been a wild 3 days. But, yeah, go back to Saturday, Boris. And like you said, so Evolve 61, they do an angle where Ethan Carter III attacks Johnny Gargano, backing up the TNA, Drew Galloway, who's the TNA heavyweight champion. They're trying to do the whole angle of WWE Live against NXT. And let me see. Michael emailed in. Does he have the graphic? Do we have a graphic? Is there a graphic for Hawaii? Don't see a graphic, but oh, they've announced the official details have been announced, so I'll check that out. Cool. But yes, and so they do this angle on the Evolve show, and here's the thing about it. Drew Galloway is an independent wrestler. EC3 is an independent wrestler, but they're most associated with TNA because, you know, that's where they're on national television. A small, or very small, in the grand scheme of things, a small cable channel called Pop TV. But they're on cable television. They're associated with TNA. You know, Drew Galloway, you know, he's not the TNA heavyweight champion on the Evolve shows. He's just, you know, Drew Galloway. And, but, you know, they're associated with TNA, so you get the TNA heavyweight champion, and then you get Ethan Carter III, who's most associated with TNA, and you put them together, you have this angle where they're, you know, they are representing the anti-NXT group of the WWE and Live Evolve Wrestling faction group. You know, it's just this wild angle where, you know, they're trying to set up a deal for, you know, guys who are loyal to Evolve and loyal to Evolve such WWE and Live against guys who are trying to get to NXT. And that sort of thing. That's what they're kind of setting up a little bit here. And yeah, let's throw in TNA because they're you know, because Drew and EC3 are associated with TNA. So it's a really fascinating angle where basically TNA is getting some free pub, you know, with their guy, because their guys have to take independent bookings because TNA isn't running any shows. You know, so their guys have to get independent bookings, and so but they're most associated with TNA. And so therefore, when they do this big angle, it feels like there's some sort of TNA, NXT, WWE and Live invasion happening. So it's just fascinating stuff. Yeah, you're right on, Boris. Well, I feel the same way about Doc and Carl. It's not just that I've saw them in New Japan and then I'm seeing them on Raw and it's not the same group. I think that if you're going to introduce, it's kind of the same way as the NXT call-ups. If you're going to introduce this new hot act and build them up, then you've got to have them look strong and not as just sort of the lackeys, the AJ Styles. And I think that, again, you know, these are all very fresh, delicate characters. And when you kind of undermine them a little bit here and there in the very, 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 very beginning intro, then I think it's going to hurt their perception. And I think that you see them getting eliminated in this match tonight, especially Carl Anderson being the first one out for his team. I think it was Jey Uso was the first one out overall, but in this elimination six-man tag. Yeah, I just think that Carl and Doc have not been the same team that we saw in New Japan. It's not quite the same as, you know, Tensai, who was, you know, Giant Bernard in New Japan, who, you know, teamed with Carl Anderson, comes to WWE and he's, you know, putting this stupid gimmick as Tensai and it just completely fails miserably. It's not that bad, but you can definitely see Carl and Doc have been watered down a little bit in this role. And, you know, I think that's a bit of an unfortunate introduction, but they're still part of a program with the WWE Heavyweight Champion, Roman Reigns. So that, you know, that counts for something. I thought there would have been a little bit better setup for this. Let's see. Boris, appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to our next caller. Next up is from the 216 area code. Welcome to the show, 216. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Yo, B-Lump from Ohio.
Hey, B, what's your mind tonight? I'm going to call you B-Ohio.
There you go. you know what? I didn't think it was a bad show.
Yeah.
I think Big Cass, I think he needs his own theme music because even like when you hear that theme music that they both have, mm-hmm. when Enzo comes back, that is going to get the biggest pop. That is going to be amazing when you hear that music. And he finally comes back and he's running around on the stage. Mm-hmm. But I think for right now, I think Big Cass really needs his own theme music to kind of just set him apart. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just set him to the side a little bit just until Enzo comes back. I thought that I liked Jericho saying Enzo annoying. I thought that was funny. I thought that was real funny. I like the AJ and Roman Reigns little showdown that they had when they were kind of looking at each other and Roman went and kind of handed them the chair and kind of set it down in front of them like, here you go, use it if you want it. I liked all that. It wasn't a bad Raw. So I guess I'm kind of trying to get, what do you think Raw is on a scale of 1 to 10 tonight, and what were your favorite moments tonight, and what stuck out to you the most tonight?
Yeah, I think the top moment was what you just said, Reigns and Styles. I feel like, you know, so often when you get to the rematch, like WWE doesn't really know how to build from the first match or the second match and then on TV to the rematch. But I feel like they're building to a crescendo with Reigns and Styles. They've kind of slowly added another layer every single week. It hasn't really felt that repetitive. And I thought that they had a nice confrontation tonight, as you broke down, B. And I thought that was to me the highlight of the show was that confrontation. I would say also in the ring, surprisingly, was the Miz's match. I thought that Miz and Sami Zayn had a pretty darn good match tonight, and I don't know if it's because Miz has his wife down ringside and he's wrestling inspired now, but I've seen a different Miz since WrestleMania, and I feel like he's having some good matches. And obviously, Sami Zayn is really good in the ring, so you put an inspired Miz with Sami Zayn, and you have something on the line where, you know, if Zayn wins, he gets added to the title match at Extreme Rules. I thought that was made for a pretty darn good match. So I think the two highlights were in the ring, Miz and Zayn, and then as far as, you know, doing some building, it was Reigns and Styles, and I thought that was pretty good. You know, the Big Cass theme music is interesting because you're right on. There is that thing of, like, you hear the theme and you expect to see Enzo coming, you know, just running out on the stage and doing his thing and doing the intro and Big Cass falling behind. You know, and so you hear the music and you see just Big Cass come out by himself. And I think Big Cass has enough energy to not have it be disappointing. Like you hear the music and you're expecting, like, Enzo to come running out there doing his thing. That's like, you look forward to that. But I think that Big Cass has become as much a part of the act that there isn't a letdown. You know, there isn't a disappointment when the music hits and there's no Enzo, and it's just Big Cass. I think they're okay with that. I know what you mean, though, because I thought about that too during Raw, which is that should they give him his own theme music until Enzo comes back? And I think it would have to be the very, very, very right music for Big Cass. Because the wrong tone, the wrong music, the wrong theme, and I think that would take a lot away from the act. They had to be very careful with that. Because I don't think they're in a bad position where it's just him by himself. You know, some other people, it's like, you take away one part of the act, a character, with the Shield, you take away Dean Ambrose, take away Seth Rollins, you play the Shield music and it's just Roman Reigns, well, there might be an issue there. As people have always said, they need to give Roman Reigns his own theme music, you know, but, you know, you take away the two popular members of the Shield and just give it to Roman Reigns, yeah, we might have a problem, but I think Big Cass is strong enough on his own where he can handle the music, and I would say just don't touch it. I thought about that too, B. That crossed my mind whether they should give him some new music, but I'm okay with them holding off on that. I'm okay just for a second, but I know what you mean. Let me hit a quick ad, and then we'll be right back with some more phone calls.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week, and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
Let's get some email questions here. I still can't go over the Hawaii double main event. Brock and KO and Cena and Nakamura, which leads to an email question. Darrell emailed him. He says, what about John Cena and Finn Balor? Since we're looking for ways to introduce Finn Balor in an impactful way, why not bring him in against a returning John Cena? Since he will be the hottest act, even though he's just coming back. John Cena, that is. That would be an interesting way to get people to see. I think everybody's kind of expecting Finn Balor to come in and be part of the club, the Styles deal. And if they had Balor coming in and going after Cena, you know, like Cena comes back on Memorial Day, and Cena's like, you know, who am I going to face? And all of a sudden Balor comes in and goes after him. Then you got a hot feud. It's an option. I still think the best thing for everybody is Balor and AJ Styles. Because, you know, again, as we talked about this on last week's livecast, I think Styles loses the reins. They got to have a big fallback program for Styles. You can't just have him drift down. He's never really been in the mid card. He's always sort of been up there since he debuted. But you don't want him to, you know, go to the top of the mountain and just sort of slide down the side. And so that's why I think that a program with Finn Bálor is a pretty darn good fallout or fallback program, especially if there's a big angle involving the club or whatever they're going to call it. So I think that that's still the option. Now, yeah, who does John Cena come back and feud with? That's, you know, Memorial Day. It could be Reigns. You know, they could go right into Reigns. You know, I don't know. I don't know where he fits in anymore because so much has changed since he was last on TV. That, you know, you might be along the right line, Darrell, that they might have to debut somebody with Cena for him to go after, just because we just don't know where he fits in. But you could just have Cena go to Kevin Owens. You know, there's history there. You know, we'll see how that goes out. But I don't know. Michael from Georgia. Why does WWE decide? Why do they always water down their champions? Every champion had a match tonight lost. It doesn't make sense for them to lose non-title matches. Well, let's take a look at that. So, let's see. New Day. Yeah, I guess New Day lost to Dudley's. Technically, Roman Reigns' team won by DQ. You know, because Carl and Doc attacked Reigns on the outside. Let's see. The Miz lost. Charlotte lost. Kalisto was ringside, so he was spared. He was spared. But yeah, you're right. The champions that were in action lost tonight. You know, it's that even Steven mid-card booking. You know, they just can't get away from it. It's what they know. It's what they know. It's how they set up feuds nowadays. You know, it's just the way they set stuff up now. You know, there's no way around it. You know, it's just the way WWE sets stuff up and tries to make you think that the champion's in jeopardy and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, there's better ways to go about it besides water down the characters, but that's just the way they do things. Jordan in Wales wrote in, with the introduction of Dana Brooke tonight, can you see any potential for a women's tag division? That's interesting. My first thought is they can't, just what we're talking about, they can't handle their champions they have already. You know, they can't handle their own champions. Then they introduce a tag team, women's tag team champions. Yeah, I mean, it would be a way to kind of solve the problem of, you know, they only seem to have one room for one title feud at one time. But, man, I don't know if they can handle tag teams, another title. You know, the tag team women's titles. I'm kind of torn on that one. As you said, you know, you could have Dana and Emma. You could have Becky and Sasha. On the house shows over the weekend, one of the tours, the first opening match was Sasha and Becky against Emma. And I could pull it up, but it was somebody. They had opening tag matches with the women's division. So, yeah, I mean, it's there. I'd feel bad for the Bella Twins where, you know, Nikki has a broken neck and Bree's retiring and all of a sudden the women's division gets tag titles. You know, I'd feel terrible for them. But, I'm torn on that one. You know, I lean toward they can't handle their own titles they have already. But, yeah, that would certainly help them solve the problem of, what else do you do with the rest of the roster? Clayton wrote in about Stephanie, you know, cutting off characters. Yeah, it's not as bad as it was, but yeah, that's definitely there. And then he also wrote about the amazing lengths that WWE will go to get Reigns over and then justify the decision, whether it's turning the mic's crowd down, having video packages, limited amount of time for Reigns to not overexpose him, editing crowd signs. Moving, rearranging the show where the big six-man tag was not in the last segment of the show. They kind of rearranged it. So, yeah, they're trying to protect Reigns as much as possible. And we can all kind of see through it. We all know what's going on. But he's the guy they're going to run with. And so they're going to protect their asset. They're going to protect their investment. They've got to justify the decision. So I get it. It's just it's very easy to kind of see through. And, you know, it is what it is. So AJ wrote in. Anyway, that AJ wrote in. Do you think that Reigns and Styles' feud would be better if there were defined faces and heels? I think so. I think that would work for a lot of different things on the show if they had more of a defined heel-face division. Reigns and Styles is interesting, though. And again, they want Reigns to be liked. They want him to be a babyface, but the crowds are rejecting him. So it's like, what do? Do you fight against the crowd every single night? You know, I think that's why they kind of went with AJ Styles for a couple pay-per-views, so the crowd is somebody to cheer for. And they just don't know how to present Roman Reigns other than just sort of a neutral tweener type character right now. You know, it would work better, but you know they're not gonna have Reigns be a heel. He's not gonna be a heel. You know, they want him as the likable baby face to his fans, and so therefore they can't have him turn heel. They're gonna have him do heelish things from time to time, but stay within the boundaries, so that his fans still like him and cheer for him. But you know they're not gonna turn him heel. They're not gonna have AJ turn heel because he sells too much merchandise. So you're kind of stuck with, you know, just pick your favorite. And I agree with you, that's not the way to go to be successful. Christian wrote about TNA stars being on the NXT roster. Will there be an invasion angle? Yeah, I mean, they're trying to set it up, but, you know, I don't know. I'm not in favor of it. It might happen. There might be some sort of deal because you got a bunch of TNA guys who need bookings because TNA isn't running any shows. And yet they still have a show, you know, they still have a television show. So you might see sort of a half-hearted attempt at it. But, it'll be on a small scale. Adam wrote in. He thought Raw was full of action. He thought the Intercontinental title scene was set up great. Miz and Sammy was a good match. He likes that Dana Brooke was on the show with Emma. AJ Roman feud is heating up. He was wondering what's my opinion on how WWE feels about Kevin Owens. He says, I believe he's in for an amazing year going back to Payback. They featured him quite a bit. He's been looking great lately, and especially the amount of screen time that he gets. How much mic time will he get? As it shows a lot of confidence from the back with from Kevin Owens. So, yeah, I mean, Kevin Owens is sort of lingering there as a guy who, you know, in the Intercontinental title division, in the picture, but hasn't had the title since WrestleMania, since KO Mania. I don't know what the long-term plan is for him. They're obviously high on him because they, like you said, they give him a lot of screen time, a lot of TV time, a lot of promo time. I just don't know where he fits in. You know, is he going to challenge Roman Reigns for the WWE title after Extreme Rules? Is he at that kind of level? Is he at that level? I don't know. I don't think they see him there right now. Now down the road they might rotate him into that spot, but I think overall, at this point in time, I don't think they see him at that top level. Give it time, though. You know, give it time. Because there are signs that they're confident in him. It's just that they don't see him at a certain level at this time. Jonathan wrote in. He was watching the Ring of Honor pay-per-view last night. Saw the Gorillas of Destiny for the first time. Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa. If the Usos were rebranded like those guys, would they get over? I actually thought about that during the match, during the six-man tag tonight. I thought, okay, what if you repackage the Usos with a little bit more of an edge, a little bit more like, like you said, from sort of a similar background. I think they're from the same family line, they're part of the Bullet Club, the IWGP or whatever, tag team champions, Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, the former, formerly Camacho in WWE. I think it would help. I just think it'd be a little bit jarring for the general audience. You know, the general audience kind of, you know, they like the Usos. There's a familiarity with them. They, you know, the colorful outfits, colorful face paint. It's kind of reassuring. You know, it's like watching Disney. You see the colorful characters and the colorful backgrounds. It's just kind of reassuring for the kids and for the family members. There's something reassuring. Honestly, I think that's why the Usos won the Slammies last year, even though they were injured for 6 months. You know, because they're just sort of a familiarity. The general audience that would vote in that kind of poll, there's a familiarity with them. And so I think that they run the risk of making them too edgy, and then the people who are the audience members who are familiar with them and kind of have a general like and a familiarity with the Usos would be sort of taken aback by that. I think it would help overall. I think it would give them a little bit of juice and help them be taken more seriously as an act, but I think WWE kind of likes them as the colorful Usos. You know, they appeal to a certain segment of the audience, and I think WWE is content with kind of going with that. So I'm with you, though, Jonathan. I think it would help them overall as an act if they were rebranded to maybe a little bit more of an edge like the Bullet Club. That is all of the emails and phone calls. A lot of good stuff, a lot of good topics, a lot going on. So be sure to stay with us at pwtorch.com. I'll be up very early in the morning on a little bit of sleep covering financials. For some reason, WWE's got financials on Tuesday instead of Thursday. It's been Thursdays forever. But they got financials tomorrow, first quarter 2016. I'll be up early covering it at pwtorch.com. So the craziness of Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then into Tuesday continues with all kinds of wild stuff happening in the world of wrestling. WWE, Ring of Honor, New Japan, just a lot of stuff happening. So Evolve, WWE Live, TNA. So stay with us at pwtorch.com, Independence. And we have all your coverage throughout the week at pwtorch.com. And, of course, right here, pwtorchlivecast.com, Wade Keller, and the returning Jim Valley at 1 Eastern on Tuesday. And then, as you heard earlier, Pat McNeil is on with interview Wednesday in primetime at 8 Eastern on Wednesday. And then Thursday, Wade Keller back at 1 p.m. Eastern with interview Thursday. If you haven't already listened to it, listen to last Thursday's show. Very buzzworthy. Wade Keller and Kevin Echt, former WWE creative team writer. And then Friday is Bruce Mitchell, Travis Bryant at 7 Eastern here at pwtorchlivecast.com. And then Jim Valley's back on Saturday with Saturday Morning Wrestling. So all that at 11:30 Eastern on Saturday. All of that this week ahead, pwtorchlivecast.com. And be with us at pwtorch.com for all the coverage of a wild week in wrestling ahead. So I will sign off here for today's postgame show. Thank you guys for listening. Appreciate your support of the PW Torch Livecast Raw postgame show. And on behalf of Torch columnist Pat McNeil, this is assistant editor James Caldwell signing off with Kids on Bridges playing it out.